This evening, I want to reference John chapter 8, verse number 12, just this one verse. Jesus is talking to the people in the temple. The Pharisees come along, interrupt him, and in verse number 12, the Pharisees have gone their way. Very familiar account of what took place before that, but we're not going to discuss that. Just want to be brief this evening. But as Jesus turns back to the people on this great day of the feast, he says in verse number 12 of John chapter 8, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so, as I alluded to earlier this evening, Jesus is the light of the world. And I got to thinking, how does light affect the world? Because Jesus uses that as an illustration to tell us how he affects those who will trust him. And so I came up with four different things that light does in the world. The first thing it does is it drives away despair. Drives away despair. Don't you hate the overcast, gloomy days like we've had here recently? And when that sun comes out, isn't everything just a little bit nicer and you smile a little bit more and everyone's a little bit more cheerful in the gloomy, overcast, dark days where you don't have light? It's difficult because despair sets in, hopelessness and depression. And that's just a psychological fact that when a person is in darkness without much light, depression sets in. And so the light is important. It gives life. But our world today is in despair, aren't they? Economic despair. We're wondering where the interest rates are going to go when the presidency changes hands here in a few weeks. And we're wondering what's going to happen when, because the president stated is, the president-elect has stated his intention are to raise the tariffs on China. What's going to happen? And so despair over financial issues. There's despair over health in many people's lives. And as they get different things going on in their lives, there's despair over family matters, despair over the wars going on in the world. How are these going to conclude? President Putin just keeps doubling down on the fact that he's going to take Ukraine and at least a portion of it, and he's not going to settle until he has that. Only the last I heard, and this was about maybe a week and a half ago, the only way to stop the war is to give him what he wants. You know, just some land there, and where's this going to lead? And with the Muslims attacking the Jews everywhere and everyone they consider to be a pagan in this world, it's easy to be hopeless. It's easy to wonder and fret. But Jesus says he's the light. He'll shine in our hearts and in our lives if we'll trust him as our Savior with that hope, the blessed hope, that Jesus Christ is coming back and that he will take us to be with him in a far better place that we know is heaven. He's written about it in the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, and he's told us what a wonderful place he has planned for us. And so as we see our world in which we live just tumbling into despair and hopelessness, we have a hope that will prevail through all of this. But it's only through the light, only through the light. And so the light, we see, first of all, drives away despair, but it also provides direction, provides direction. How many of you have a nightlight in your house? Yeah, every hand in the room was raised, and that's something. Because none of us like kicking our little toe on the corner of a chair or the leg of a chair or the corner of a hallway or a doorway. We want direction. And so light provides that. We can see where we're going and we can see out ahead a little ways and we can look behind and see where we've been. Well, Jesus does all of that as well. He gives us guidance. He gives us the truth. We don't always like to hear the truth, but I'm glad he gives it to us anyway. We've got a lot of individuals out there that are giving us false hope in things that just don't matter or things that just will never come to pass. But Jesus doesn't just pat us on the head and tell us we're okay, does he? He tells us what's wrong in our lives, and he tells us how to correct it. And he is the solution to all these things in our lives. And so he gives us direction. He tells us how we can have a home in heaven. And that's the most important thing of all. He says that's why he came. He said previously in John that he was the bread of life. And so there is no life in any other means or methods. He'll say a little bit later in John chapter 14 that he is the way. And that no man comes to the Father except through him. And so Jesus is the one who gives us direction and shows us the way because he is the way. And so he sheds light in our lives and helps us know which way to turn. And he gives us advice and counsel on what decisions to make in our life. And so, first of all, the light drives away despair. Secondly, it provides direction. And then thirdly, it reveals danger. Reveals danger. You know, if you're in pitch blackness and you're walking towards a cliff, you'd never know it. But the light, as it comes on, shows you where those dangerous steps are, where those pitfalls are. And Jesus does that as well. Again, he does it through his word. He tells us that so many things that the world is involved in. Now, I didn't point it out, but this makes it very clear that outside of Jesus Christ is nothing but darkness. Because he says, again, referring to verse number 12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And the implication is, without him, they are walking in darkness. Before I accepted Christ as my Savior by faith, I was walking in darkness. And all these things that I've just talked about, despair, direction, and danger, that just described my life. And so Jesus, in his word, helps us to escape the darkness by revealing the danger that's out there. And the greatest danger that man faces, that they're completely oblivious to, is the dangers of an eternal destiny in the lake of fire. And I've told you this several times in the short time I've been here, but I still can very vividly remember, as if it took place earlier today, sitting in my friend Larry's bedroom. We were teenagers at the time, and we were drinking and getting high. And I remember Larry looking up at me and saying that, you know, when I get to hell, this is what it's going to be like. We'll be seated around a campfire just having a good old party. And I agreed with him. That was my perception of hell. And, you know, we think that's what it is, but it's not that at all. I'm glad that Jesus reveals the danger that's there, a very real danger. That's why he describes it as a lake of fire, a lake of fire. Now, excuse me. When I was, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, my family would go to Lake Michigan. We lived about 45 minutes away from Lake Michigan. And we liked it when there was a lot of wind because you had big waves and we had body surf. And it was really a lot of fun until the time that I got caught in the undertow. And you know, when I was under that water and all I got out was my nose. I know my mouth and my eyes were both underwater because I opened my mouth and I opened my eyes because I was desperate because I was about to drown. But my nose was up, so I was okay. But, you know, when I was in that situation, I didn't know anybody else was around me. I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see any people. It was a very alone moment, as I think on that. And I think that's descriptive of what the lake of fire is going to be like. We're not going to look at all the passages that are referred to tonight. In fact, we're not going to look at any others just for brevity, but he talks about those that are cast into hell as being cast into outer darkness. Outer darkness. There is no fellowship. There is no sitting around the campfire. There are no parties. God tells us what goes on in hell. There's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. I'm glad he told me about that danger and revealed it because he's light. Because that's a terrible place to go. And he tells us about it, not because he wants to threaten us and not because he's mean and vindictive, but he does it because he's loving and caring and wants you to escape those fires. And so he has to reveal the danger. You know, I'm glad my parents never let me play in a busy street. I'm glad I never let my children play in a busy road, because there's danger there. And so I told them about that. And my parents told me, and I'm sure you had the same experience as I did in that regards. I'm glad my parents warned me of the danger of sticking a fork or a knife in an electrical outlet. And there's all kinds of dangers in life. And I'm glad that those who love us warn us of those dangers. Jesus, as the light, does exactly the same thing. And there's a lot of dangerous things out there in the world for the Christian as well. And if we're not warning each other of those, then we're not the light like Jesus was the light, because he has warned us. Oftentimes we ignore his warnings and pay the consequences. And that's unfortunate. He never intended that. He loves us and lets us know what we can do and what we can't do in order to achieve the happiness and the joy that we desire to have. And so, first of all, light drives away despair. It provides direction. Thirdly, it reveals danger. Then, fourthly, it dispels darkness. That's the cool thing about light. You can go into a dark room, flip the switch, and all of a sudden all the darkness is gone, isn't it? Because the light's entered. It dispels the darkness. It drives away the darkness. And Jesus referred to this in that phrase that I read last out of verse number 12, that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, and then continuing on, but shall have the light of life. In other words, the world is darkness, and God's children are not to walk in the same pathways that the world walks. There's certain things that the Bible tells us, as we're talking about the dangerous things in life, such as gambling and drinking and smoking and all these things that nobody seems to like to talk about anymore, but they're still just as wrong as they ever were. Those things should be driven out of our lives when Jesus Christ comes in. We shouldn't talk the way that they talk. There's words Christians should never use, let alone think. We're around it, and unfortunately, sometimes those words might come into our minds, and maybe we used them in the past, but they should never come out of our mouth. Because the light, if the light is in, it dispels that. It drives it away. Dispel is a good word, a strong word, because it talks about scattering and driving away. It's a very descriptive and powerful word. And that's what should happen in our lives. Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about what fellowship hath light with darkness. I know far too many Christians that want to be light but are walking in darkness. And they don't understand why they're having such a difficult time in life. Well, it's not rocket science. God explains it to us in his word. And so I'm glad that Jesus is the light of the world. But you know what? He also goes on to tell us that he was going to leave and we become the light of the world. And if we're going to be light, then we're going to do all the things that Jesus does, driving away despair in the lives of others, being an encourager and a helper, providing direction to those that need it through biblical counsel and sharing the good news with the lost. We should never be afraid to speak out against the darkness of this world. I could just elaborate on the dangers that are out there, but you know what they are. I've mentioned a few already, but we shouldn't be tight-lipped on these things. Jesus, it wasn't. He just told people the truth, and we ought to be the same. And we should dispel darkness and not allow it in our lives and speak against it in the lives of others. And so, as we consider the light that we had on the candle and the light before us, Jesus is the light. And now he's told us, ye are the light of the world. And so be that light that Jesus desires you to be. Father, we're grateful for the blessings you've given to us in our lives. Thank you for this coming Christmas, as we recall that first Christmas nearly 2,000 years ago. And Father, we just ask that you would help us to remember why we celebrate, and why we give gifts, and why we enjoy family during this time. It's all because you demonstrated your love by leaving the throne of heaven, entering the womb of the Virgin Mary, and being born King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a lowly stable. And Father, you lived and dwelled among men for about 33 and a half years. The last 3.5 years you spent preaching the gospel and helping those in need and demonstrating that you are who you claim to be. And then comes the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension into heaven where you are now. Father, all these truths are wrapped up together. Father, help us to recall these things and to praise you and worship you on this Christmas season this year. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.